Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Impossible.
girlfriends.
Good evening.
We are reading Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free by Nancy Lee DeMoss. And there's also a corresponding workbook. And I would advise you to get this workbook and this book because it is very enjoyable. I really had a good time with the Lord yesterday going through this, reading through the scriptures that correspond with this. It was really a blessing. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about six lies that women believe. And the first one is God good? Sometimes people don't believe that God is good. Well, maybe he's good, but maybe he's not good to me. You know, maybe he's not really good. So the Lord really taught me something about his goodness. Years ago, my husband of 20 years left me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how did you allow this to happen? If you're good and you love me, why did you allow this to happen? And I didn't expect an answer from him. But the Lord really spoke to my heart. And he said, I'm allowing this because I'm going to bring you to a place where I'm going to teach you to trust me completely. And I said, but my future is over. This was my whole future. And he said, what does that have to do with you and me? Your future is not him. Your future is me. It's you and me for eternity. Nobody else matters. And so God really showed me his goodness. And the truth is, God is good. And everything he does is good. And in Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the person who trusts in him. And number two, God's love is questioned. Does he really love me? You know, a lot of women have a hard time accepting that God loves them because they think they're not good enough, for one thing. We need to go by what God's word says and not by our feelings. If we could really see as God looks down at us with pure love, you know, we could really realize how much he loves us. I mean, I heard it said that we're his babies. He's our father and we're his babies. How much do you love your baby? How much do you love your children? When you look down and see that child, that's how God feels about us. And I don't think you really understand God's love until you have your own child. And you miss that child so much when you're away, and you love that child so much, you just can't imagine. You can't imagine God's love. It's so much bigger and deeper than that. And last night as I was laying there and I had contemplated some of these scriptures and was thinking about God's love, it was just like I laid my head on the pillow and it made me just feel like when I take a nice, fragrant, warm bath. And it was like God was just bathing me in his love. And I invite you to do that tonight. As you go to bed, think about God and think about his love. And scripture says that you'll find you in perfect peace. God will find you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. So you think about him and think about his love for you and let his love just bathe you tonight. So the truth is God loves us and he has our best interest at heart. His love is unconditional. In John 15:13, it says, no one shows greater love than when he lays down his life for his friends. He sent his only son to die for us. So in the book, Nancy Lee DeMoss talks about her friend, and this is just showing love. Her friend was facing a long, hard battle with breast cancer, and she talked about how she had come to have a deeper appreciation of the incredible love of God through her husband's response to her double mastectomy. And this is what she said. As we wept and trembled, when he took the bandages off the first time, it was ugly and scarred and bald. And I was in intense grief. I could never be a whole wife to him again. And Steve held me tightly with his tears in his eyes and said, Melena, I love you because that's who I am. I instantly recognized Christ in my husband. As his bride, we are also eaten up with cancer, sin, and are scarred and mutilated. But he loves us because of who he is. No comeliness in us draws Christ's attention.
It is only his essence that draws him in. And I thought of Pastor Johnny and his wife and all that they've been together and how, you know, they really show the love of Christ to each other. So, number three, God is not my father. God is our father, but a lot of women, I'm very lucky to have a wonderful father. I don't have a problem saying that God is my father, but a lot of women do. They've been through abuse, neglect, abandonment with their father, and they don't want to say that God is like a father. But God is not like most earthly fathers. The truth is, he is more wise and loving than any father could ever be. In Hebrews 12, 9 and 10, and this is paraphrased, Our earthly father disciplines us, but God does it for our own good, so we may share in his holiness. Number four, that God is not enough, that's not enough for us. It's a lie that we need lots of stuff to make us happy. Eve thought she was missing out on something, that God wasn't enough. She's like many of us who would like to eat whatever we want without any consequences whatsoever. But it doesn't work that way. So the truth is, God is enough. And I love this verse. It's Psalm 73, 23 through 26. And it says, "But now I am always with you, for you keep holding my right hand. You will guide me with your wise advice, and later you will receive me with honor. Whom do I have in heaven but you? I desire nothing on earth. My body and mind may fail." I think a lot of us are in that position where our body and mind are failing.
Speak for yourself.
"But God is my portion forever." And then in that is number four. So number five, if we live for God, we'll be miserable. We'll have no fun, and we'll be missing out on a lot. But Jesus came to set people free. Sin is bondage. When we obey God and his laws, we are blessed. His laws are for our protection. What if we had no laws in this country? I mean, even if we just take traffic laws, traffic laws alone would be crazy if we had no laws. Everybody would be running into each other. We'd all be killing each other. We'd be crashing into each other more than we do now. But in Deuteronomy 6:24, it says, "Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God for our own good, so that he may keep us alive as we are today." So the truth is, God's ways are best. His restrictions are always for our good. James 1:25 says, "But the one who looks at the perfect law of freedom, his law is the law of freedom, and remains committed to it, thereby demonstrating that he is not forgetful, but a hearer, but a doer of what that law requires. We will be blessed in what he does." And so the last one is number six, that God should fix everything, and we should never have any problems. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
We live in a quick-fix society, but God didn't say life would be easy. Unfortunately, we grow in the valley, but not in the mountains. He does promise he will walk us through everything we go through. And he uses problems to mold and shape us into his image, into what he wants us to be. So the truth is, God has an eternal purpose. He is fulfilling in the midst of our problems. He's fulfilling his purpose in the midst of our problems. And God's timing is absolutely perfect. You know, I heard an illustration one time of a man that says he went to a trip to Chicago and he was stuck in a holding pattern. He couldn't land. And he says, "I just relaxed. Everything's under control. It's fine. I just laid there and went to sleep. I was in the holding pattern." But he says, a lot of people, they don't want God's timing. They're not in the holding pattern. They don't realize as they're in the holding pattern, things are happening.
Yes. Right.
That, you know, that spouse that you're supposed to meet has just landed. That job that you're supposed to have has just landed. And you had to wait for everything to fall into place. So we have to trust God completely, that he is his timing, and he's doing a work in us that he is wanting to do. And so, like the song says, you can't get much better than him. It's trust and obey. And that's what God wants from us. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. So now we're going to talk about some of these questions, and I have Lisa Marie here with me. And so our first question is, when you were a child, you may have prayed this little rhyme, God is great, God is good. Suppose you had never been to church and had never read a Bible. Would you think that God, that a good God exists? Why or why not?
And I have trouble with that question because I was raised in a Christian home, so I never had a point where I didn't believe God was there. So I'm like, if I didn't know there was God, probably just in, like, reading the news or seeing what's going on in the world, I would think that there was nobody in charge and nobody that cared just because of the wars and crimes and disasters and stuff, not realizing how that plays into things.
Number two, look up Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and make a list of all the blessings God has given you that you can find in the passage.
And I already did that, and I picked out redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, and prudence. He gathers us to him, and he gives us an inheritance that's filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was another verse that had asked me to get up we probably wouldn't get to, and I had a picture of him. I'm dealing with birds in my house right now, of him almost doing that. Coming in, grab your kids together and put your wings around them type feeling. Not that he's, you know, a bird or anything, but just that hovering, that protection, that strength that we find in that.
He covers us with his wings, as it says in Scripture. According to Psalms 34:8 and 106:1, what are appropriate responses to the goodness of God?
Again, I already looked those up, so I have the answer here. Giving thanks, praise to him, and thank goodness for his mercy.
That's for all of us.
I know, I needed that, especially with this issue.
So reflect. Describe a situation, either past or present, in which you have been tempted to question God's goodness. This could be anything from a difficult marriage to an unanswered prayer to an unexpected illness.
And in our case, Vern and I were never able to have our own children, so we ended up with 10 miscarriages. Over courses of years, of course. And there was my fourth one is always my big one because that one, the baby actually died in my second trimester, so had to be removed. And I did have a big falling out with God over that one, I have to be honest. I was angry. I mean, angry, mad, depressed. My mom had to rip me out of bed after about a month being in my room, not talking to anybody or anything, and drug me to church, and it was right around Easter. And I remember wearing black to church because I was like, they're singing He's Alive, and I'm like, he killed my baby. And I was very angry, but I had to give that up. And ironically, the last few nights on Spirit 105.3 on the radio, they've had a few nights ago for several nights, every time I turn it on, some gal talking about infertility and how her husband, her, never could have kids. And God kept going, if I never give you a family, am I enough? Am I enough for you if I never give you a family? And, you know, I never felt that, but all these times you get the reflections and you're like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why. Obviously, we both love kids. We work with kids. We teach kids here at the church and stuff like that, but I don't know why we don't have those. But there was that question of, is God good? Does he care? Yeah. Is he listening? You know, and so to be able to get past that and to acknowledge that I love him and in this case, forgive him for my madness or ask for his forgiveness.
In Romans 8:28, this is a familiar verse to many believers. Read that verse as well as verse 29 and 38. What perspective about God and his good purpose does this passage provide to help us face painful or difficult life situations? And, of course, that's the one, all things work together for good.
Okay.
And that love God and are called according to his purpose.
No, I was just trying to remember that. And I think basically it just boiled down to me. He's right there with me. He sacrificed his son for us. He died. He intercedes for us ongoing. I mean, you can't really ask for more than that.
For whatever difficulties you are currently facing, choose to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and to claim the promises of Romans 8:28. Lord, even though I am facing this difficulty regarding what? Your answer, finances and exercise. I know you are good, and you have promised to work that situation out for my good, and I know that your commitment is to make me like Jesus. Thank you
that you will use this circumstance as a means to fulfill your good purpose in my life. So do you have anything to comment about those answers?
Well, I'm pretty much past the chance, unless he wants to give me a Sarah thing, of having another child.
Well, the finances.
So I changed my answer to finances and exercise. And you know how you talked about how sin is bondage?
Yeah.
And, you know, so many times we can be bound by debt, and I have always been struggled. Well, I shouldn't say that because I don't want that to clean up. I, in the past, have struggled with financial debt and living in my means, and then also in staying healthy, as in actually exercising. So I'm fairly trim, but I don't, like, exercise and build my strength and my core and stuff. So I decided that those were going to be my difficulties because I can't really do the whole baby thing anymore. So I just want God to work with me and to use me and to try to make those changes in my life that I need to do.
You know, those have always been my two answers when I for New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's always one or the other or both. You know, I'm gonna be totally out of debt, including my house, and I'm gonna lose weight or exercise. And you know, the last time in 14, I decided that I was going to. Instead of having those two answers, I was not going to worry anymore. I was going to give all my worries to God. I'm not going to worry about anything. And, you know, I think I changed my brain. You know, the other one that we've been talking about changing your brain, rewiring
your brain.
Oh,
right.
And I've gotten to the point where I don't have that worry anymore. And I finally kept one of my New Year's resolutions.
Awesome. So if you move to the second lie, I have only one child from a previous marriage. And for whatever reason, whether from that divorce or some fault I did that I don't understand, we have a separation in our relationship. And although he'll talk to me, he never reaches out. And with Mother's Day just passing, I once again had a terrible attitude because I get totally ignored. I don't get the call or the card or the gift or the showing up to the party. And I get totally dejected. And so I'm doing this homework, and it says, even though you may know that God loves you, you probably don't always feel that he does. What are some of the things that can cause you to feel that no one really loves or cares about you? And I have a great family. I have a great husband. I have great friends. I have a great church. They always make me feel loved, protected, but he can cut me to the bone. And I'm putting this on here, you know, I get sad, dejected when I feel rejected by my son. But can you imagine how much God feels when his children reject him? If I'm just, you know, a sinful earthly mom and rejected, and here he is, the creator of everything, and we're just like, I don't have time to read my Bible today, or I don't have time to pray or whatever, and I don't have time to visit with you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt it. It was so hard. I bought her a little gift, and I was just like, got to work, and I'm like, prayed all day before, all day of Mother's Day, and all morning on the way to work, because I work with my daughter-in-law. Mm. And I was like, hold my tongue, because I'd already got in trouble with the boss.
Yeah.
And I was able to just not say anything to her, and then that afternoon she gave me a late Mother's Day card with a gift to do my hair. But I could have totally ruined that by being
prayer.
Vocal about how much it hurts me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably don't need
it. We're about running out of time, so is there any particular one that you would like to discuss?
It asks, which lie do I think I believe the most in? And again, being raised Christian home and being saved since I was 7, it's pretty hard for some of them, but if you really, really get honest, I guess it was lie number 4, which was not on the same here. God is not enough.
Oh, yeah.
And I think over the years, I've been really working on not being the worrier, but just to relax more and let God be enough. So don't worry about what I own and how many shoes I have or what kind of car I drive or anything like that. Not that I really do, but I am somewhat materialistic in that I always am a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
I hoard things, I'll buy something, and then I don't want to eat it because I don't want to be without it. You know?
Can't have your cake and eat it too.
Apparently not. So I think I just need to really focus on that life for me right now and just say, okay, God is enough, and try to just relax in his arms.
Yeah.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor director, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.